Good evening, truth seekers. Welcome to tonight's program, The Molloy Show. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up at the top of the next hour, we're going to be chatting with Marcy Winograd, who is the founder of the Los Angeles chapter of Progressive Democrats of America. She also ran against Jane Harman in the 2006 primary and got almost 40% of the vote in less than 3 months of campaigning in her attempt to unseat Jane Harman, who is apparently turning out to be willing to cooperate with agents of a foreign government and then try to cover it up in return for a move up in power. Jane Harman is the type of Democrat that we've talked about so many times on this program, a Democrat that needs to be kicked out of the party. And if not kicked out of the party, certainly kicked out of the House or the Senate, wherever these types of Democrats serve. She is not serving the interests of the Democratic Party. She is a wholly owned subsidiary of a couple of lobbying organizations that apparently don't give a tinker's damn about our rules and regulations and so on and so forth. So we're going to be talking with Marcy Winograd, and hopefully in the next primary, Winograd will secure the nomination and go on to send Jane Harman back to work for the defense industry or whatever she wants to do once she's taken out of the Senate. Huh? You think? So that'll be in about an hour. What else we got tonight? Anything? We got anything good? Is it just usual crap? Just the usual crap. Okay. Well, that's that shouldn't come as a shock, right? Got an email from Jim in Mishawaka, Indiana, who has decided to posthumously baptize Mormon founder Joseph Smith into the Wiccan faith. He writes, oh, wait, do Wiccans even have baptisms? Well, actually not, Jim, but it's a pretty good idea. He says, how about making Joseph Smith a posthumous Hindu and elevate him to the status of the Hindu elephant god Ganesha? That might be a pretty good idea, since the Mormons apparently have no problem invading the spiritual realm where the souls of the departed cluster and congregate, and converting them from Judaism, Protestantism, Catholicism, whatever ism, into good and proper Mormons in the afterlife. So Jim is going to posthumously baptize Joseph Smith as a Wiccan. Okay, I'm all for that. I'm all for that. I don't know what you're going to do for a baptismal font, though, since Wiccans don't particularly use that, do they? Also got this from a couple of people, so I'm just going to kind of condense it. Apparently, Limbaugh, we talked about Limbaugh going off on the Republicans who decided they put together this thing called National Council for a New America. And, Jeb Bush and, Eric Cantor and a whole bunch of these loser types who, don't have a clue. They're trying to get their party out of the hands of people like Rush Limbaugh, Sarah Palin, and Joe the Plumber. And they're not doing a very good job of it. Not at all. They also, I think, are a little bit, miffed about Michael Steele, the head of the Republican National Committee, who is absolutely a jerk if ever one existed. So, anyway, the boys in the Republican Party decided to put together something called the National Council for a New America. Piyush Jindal is involved in that. They've got a lot of pretty faces in there. They really do. And a couple not so pretty ones, but they are going to start a tour around the country, talking tour, telling people what they're all about and listening to people. Actually listening. It's a listening tour, kind of like what Hillary Clinton did when she decided to run for the Senate from New York. She did her listening tour upstate New York that was chock-a-block with hardback Republicans, and go, well, look what happened. You know, she won. So, and that's because Hillary really is, when you get right down to it, a Republican also. Republican light, but Republican nonetheless, just like her husband. But, so these boys, Eric and Piyush and, Jeb. Eric, Piyush and Jeb. Anyway, and a couple more, they're going to get out here and, go on a listening tour and find out what America really wants. I think, you know, all you have to do, boys, is look at the last election results. And I think you get a major clue, but okay. If you want to go on a tour, go ahead. Might as well spend your excess campaign fund some way. So go ahead, do it. Well, Limbaugh, the pig man, this huge blobbish thug, got a hold of this information and of course went off on it. He did. Yeah. Cantor told CNN on Sunday morning, as he kicked off this rebranding effort, here's what he said, quote, what we're trying to do here today is kick off a series of town hall forums so that we can get back to listening to the people. And Mitt Romney's involved in this too. Romney, said, quote, listening to people can make a difference. That's what we're talking about here. We're listening to people. And, then a fellow Republican luminary, Jeb Bush, started to sound like an echo. He said, quote, I'm actually optimistic about the future if we have the humility to start listening and learning, end quote. Now, all that's Cantor, Jeb, and Romney. Well, this is what Rush Limbaugh said on Monday. We do not need a listening tour. We need a teaching tour. This is what the Republican Party or / the conservative movement needs to focus on. Listening tour ain't it. Oh, okay. So this morning, was it this morning, Eric Cantor was on, where was he? He was on one of the morning programs, and Eric Cantor said this morning, oh, it was a morning Joe with this freakish right-winger, Joe Scarborough. Eric Cantor said, you know, Joe, really, this is not a listening tour. What the National Council for a New America is an opportunity for us to go out across the country and talk about our conservative principles. And then Steve Bannon, who I don't know who that is, probably a Congress member or also involved in this National Council for New America, he said, quote, just so we're clear, less than a week after unveiling, Steve Bannon, who is this guy? I don't know, a blogger. Just so we're clear, less than a week after unveiling their new latest initiative, Republican leaders are rebranding the rebranding, at least in part because a radio talk show host didn't approve. Now, that's impressive. So there you go. See, you know, anyone who wants to deny that Rush Limbaugh is the titular head of the Republican Party is either grossly misinformed or a Limbaugh listener who couldn't find his ass or her ass with both hands anyway. Could find his ass with both. You find his ass with no hands. I mean, it's all over the place. Just look at him. But every time one of the leading Republicans opens their mouth, Limbaugh steps right up and shoves his foot in it. And within 24 hours, these freakish Republicans turn around and deny everything. Yes, sir, Mr. Limbaugh. Yes, we just want to stay here on the plantation and pick your cotton. That's all we want to do, and we'll be happy. Can we sing for you tonight, sir? Can we gather on the veranda of the big house and sing for you, Mr. Limbaugh? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We don't need a listening tour. Next day. You know, Joe, really, this is not a listening tour. The day before, what we're trying to do here today is kick off a series of town hall forums so we can get back to listening to the people. It's a listening tour. We're going to start listening and learning. God. Oh, pig man. You are really something. I swear to God. I think what you, what the pig man needs to do, he's getting a little crotchety, and that's because, remember when he was on drugs, when he was eating Vicodin, or no, what was it, Oxycontin, about a handful? He'd be on air and talk like this. Hi, everybody! Well, you know, I guess you know about being a, I don't know, I just think about, and everybody thought he was just, wonderful. Now he's, obese and huge and, not doing the drugs, apparently. Rusty, you need to get back on him. You really do.
Have you seen the bigger piggies in the starched white shed? You will find the bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean sheds to play.
Renegade Talk Radio done right. From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. There was a hearing yesterday morning, and for some reason, I was totally unaware that it was a Senate hearing on health care. And it just blew right past me. It was one of those things I completely missed. Thanks to several listeners, I now I can't say I missed it because you all had sent in an awful lot of stuff here. But the first one came from Terry, who writes, yesterday morning, eight doctors, lawyers, and other activists stood up to Senator Max Baucus and the private health insurance industry and the corporate liberals in Congress. And what happened was the eight activists demanded that single-payer be put on the table. Single-payer health care, everybody in, nobody out, free choice of doctor and hospital, period, end of story. As a result, they were arrested and charged with a so-called disruption of Congress. The Associated Press, Wall Street Journal, Politico, Democracy Now!, and National Public Radio all carried stories about the protest. C-SPAN carried it live, and it was widely disseminated on the Internet. Baucus crafted a hearing to kick off the health care debate in the Senate yesterday, where 15 witnesses would be at the table to discuss health care reform. The insurance industry was at the table. The Business Roundtable was at the table. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce was at the table. Blue Cross Blue Shield was at the table. The Heritage Foundation was at the table. And corporate liberals like Andy Stern, Ron Pollack, and AARP were at the table. But not one person who stood for what the majority of Americans, doctors, nurses, and health economists want, single payer, was at the table. Not one. When Ralph Nader heard about this corporate lineup last week, he called the office of Senator Baucus. He politely asked that, as a matter of fairness, a single payer doctor be allowed to testify. He was told, "No way, Ralph." The deal was already done. So yesterday at 10 a.m., the Baucus 8, led by Single Payer Action and other single payer groups, took to the Senate Finance Committee and directly and respectfully confronted a room full of corporate lobbyists and corporate-controlled senators. And again, asked that a group of doctors who were in the room to support Medicare for all be allowed to testify. The answer again, no, no, and no. Remember what Senator Durbin said last week? Durbin said that the banks own the Congress. To which we might add the health insurance industry and the drug industry own the Senate. Faxing, writing, and emailing is not getting it done. Enough is enough. Time for action. This is a winnable issue. But the American people need to focus on 535 members of Congress. Oh, and get mobilized. Terry. Now, we have that video. Did we post that at our website today, video of that Baucus hearing? No, I don't think we did. Remember, we were going to post it on the main page of the website, and I don't think we did. We yes.
If you go to the main page of our website and you look at my Twitter post, it's there.
Oh, at the Twitter post? Okay.
Follow me on Twitter.
You need to check this out if you haven't seen it. What does it run, Kathy? About 6-8 minutes? But you need to, hear Senator Max Baucus. He's another Democrat that needs to be tossed out of the Senate along with, Jane Harman. And there's a whole bunch of them. There's probably 25 or 30, Senate Democrats that need to be removed from office. And replaced with progressive Democrats. They have to go. They need, and until these Democrats are gone, nothing in the progressive agenda is going to pass. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. There are probably, 100, maybe 150 House Democrats that need to go. They need to be tossed out of office and replaced with progressive Democrats. And until they're replaced with progressive Democrats, the agenda for progressive America is dead in the water. You know, you and I and all the activists in the country can demonstrate and, send emails and scream and yell and stamp our feet, and make demands about what we really want, what we really need. And everybody in the country agrees with us. Everybody in America. I'm not talking about the brain dead Fox viewers. I'm talking about normal Americans all agree. And the war, single-payer health care, bring the jobs home, strong unions, absolutely get corporations out of government. You know, just on and on. We're all in agreement with this, a vast majority of us, but we keep electing people who don't give a goddamn. And they tell us they're Democrats. And because you and I have voted Democrat for so long, we vote them into office. And then what happens? This is what happens. Max Baucus sat there as these people tried to get his attention, tried to make their statements, and one after another, as one was escorted out by the Capitol Police, another one would stand up and simply state, we need single-payer health care. You can look at the video. You see it yourself. And Baucus and these other sons of bitches on the committee sit there and laugh. They laugh. A Democrat laughing at people saying we need single-payer health care. God damn it, I've had enough. Haven't you? Haven't you had enough?
Meet the new boss. Same as the old boss.
Gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
It is 25 before the hour. Now, Max Baucus, who, like Jane Harman and so many Democrats who have destroyed the soul of the Democratic Party. Democratic Party still exists, but it's barely hanging on. How long has it been since you've heard people? What has it been, 30 years telling you that there's not a dime's worth of difference between the two parties? And, of course, they're right. There is an enormous difference between individual members of the House and the Senate. Real Democrats and Democrats in name only. And, there are also an awful lot of progressive Democrats waiting in the wings to be elected to the House and the Senate. Imagine what it would be like right now. We have a, center right president who is mildly progressive on certain issues. Imagine if we had the control of the House and the Senate in the hands of Democrats. Right? Imagine if it was in the control of the hands of progressive Democrats. Huh? the objectives of the progressive Democrats would be met, which means that the entire country would benefit. Barack Obama, that would give him perfect cover. Legislation, don't forget, the president proposes, Congress disposes. The legislation would originate in the House and the Senate. It would be progressive legislation, and it would be presented to the president then for his signature. Obviously, he would have to sign it because he is a Democrat and would come from a Democratic-controlled House and Senate, a progressive democratically-controlled House and Senate, you see. Until we get rid of people like Jane Harman and Max Baucus, the Democratic Party is going to be just like the Republican Party. A bunch of goddamn dolts, half-wits, and morons who don't care. They don't care about you and me. They are on the payroll of corporate America. Now, this is not a news flash. We've been talking about this for 5 years. You know it as well as I do. Dan Egan, writing at the Washington Post, back in March, 2 months ago, he wrote, health insurers and drug makers have showered members of the 111th Congress with millions in campaign contributions over the last 4 years, with a special focus on leaders who will play major roles in shaping health care legislation. Health insurers and their employees contributed $2.2 million to the top 10 recipients in the House and Senate since 2005, while drug makers and their employees gave more than $3.3 million to top lawmakers during that period. That's according to an analysis of federal elections data by Consumer Watchdog, a California-based advocacy group. The biggest beneficiaries in the Senate? Oh, you know where I'm going with this, but I'll do it anyway. John McCain, Republican of Arizona, $546,000. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, $425,000. Max Baucus, Democrat of Montana, $413,000. Baucus, as head of the Finance Committee, will play a leading role in the debate over health care reform. And if you check out the video posted on our website, you'll see what kind of role he's going to play. He will denigrate, embarrass, and call for the police when witnesses who should be at the witness table are forced to stand up in the audience and deliver a polite, monotonic, simple statement. We want single-payer health care, period. Medicare for everybody, everyone in, nobody out. Do it, goddammit. Just do it. And Baucus snickers and laughs until finally he realizes, if you look at that video, he'll realize, oh my God, it's an organized effort by doctors and nurses and activists who are standing up one at a time inside his sacrosanct, paid for by corporate America Senate hearing room, and he can't handle it. And towards the end of the video, if you go look at it, he makes some half-assed statement about, oh, well, no, I just want to assure everybody in the room who's interested in single payer. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We're real aware of that. We really do respect what you have to say. Sneaky, lying bastard. In the House, the insurance industry, and aren't they just a bunch of thieves and bastards? The health insurance industry. Oh, my God. And the pharmaceutical industry in the House, those two groups gave $250,000 to Minority Leader John Boehner, Republican of Ohio, $250,000 to Minority Whip Eric Cantor, Republican of Virginia, $100,000 to Earl Pomeroy, Democrat of North Dakota, $180,000 to John Dingell, Democrat of Michigan. He took in $180,000 from the drug companies. And Dan Egan at the Post goes on to say the healthcare sector has long ranked with financial services and energy interests as one of the most powerful political forces in Washington. And it spent nearly $1 billion on lobbying in the past 2 years alone. $1 billion. Let me ask you something, Truth Seeker. Who do you think Max Baucus and these other fake Democrats, who are they going to respond to? They're going to respond to 1,000 emails? Or are they going to respond to $300,000? What do you think? Who do you think they're going to respond to? You know damn good and well who they're going to respond to. They're going to respond to the corporate money bags. That's who they're going to respond to. So what's the answer? Get these rancid sons of bitches out of office. Get them out. They will never, not ever, these Democrats, listen to you or listen to me. Now, we can get out there until hell freezes over with, you know, our demonstrations and our email trees and our phone banks and sending messages to the local office back home of these thugs. We can do it until hell freezes over. We have done it. Hell froze a long time ago. And what has changed? Nothing. And why hasn't it? Because they're not our representatives. They belong to corporate America. This is not hard stuff. I mean, Jesus, God, this is easy. So how do we change it? We remove them from office legally and peacefully. We couldn't get rid of the Bush crime family. For 8 years, those rancid bastards destroyed our country. But we can damn sure get rid of Democrats. We really can. It's very simple. You vote them out of office. You run a progressive candidate like one we're going to talk to tonight in about 20 minutes, Marcy Winograd. You run progressive Democrats. You get them elected to replace these Democrats who are destroying us. They're absolutely destroying us. I don't give a tinker's damn about Republicans. I don't care. I know what Republicans do. They're swine, slime, scum. But Democrats, how dare these people take the name of a Democrat and then do what they're doing? How dare they? They've got to be thrown out of office. They have to be voted out. That's all. Now, Consumer Watchdog, it was formerly known as the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights. Consumer Watchdog, this is the organization on the West Coast. California, says the amount of money pouring into Congress from the healthcare sector industry raises questions about the independence of lawmakers as they consider dramatic changes to the healthcare system. Barack Obama, who is not included in the analysis because he is no longer in Congress, received more than $2 million from the insurance and pharmaceutical sectors during his record-breaking presidential campaign. The only qualifier on that is this. All of the contributions were from individuals, however, as Obama forswore donations from political action committees. Okay. That doesn't mean a damn thing to me. Jerry Flanagan, Consumer Watchdog's healthcare advocate, noted that Baucus, Max Baucus, Democrat, was the top Democratic recipient of contributions from health insurers and drug makers over the past 4 years. Top Democratic recipient from health insurers, and they don't insure anything. These rancid sons of bitches, you know what they do. Oh, sure, they'll pay claims. Oh, I know. If you had a heart operation, yeah, they paid for it. Right, okay. If you have to get your diabetes medicine, okay, they'll pay for it. But let your policy lapse and see if you can get insurance again. They are not health insurers. They are profit-making entities that don't give a damn whether you live or die, whether you're sick or not sick. They don't care about you, your children, your spouse, they care your partner. They care nothing except for one thing, profit. Profit, profit, profit. And the have you done business with the little dweebs and drones that work inside these so-called health insurance companies? Have you ever had to call in about a claim that they have turned down and listen to these rancid sons of bitches? Because that's what they are paid to do. Deny your claim. Not pay your claim. Deny your claim. And if your claim gets paid, it's because you were persistent or determined or demanded or you had an attorney help you out. So Max Baucus has taken a leading role in the healthcare reform debate. Oh, Jesus, God. We'll be right back. Everybody came running. Everybody said, Lord, 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 Lord. Everybody was running. They're going to divvy up the reward. Whoa, whoa, now, whoa, 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 whoa. There came a siren and a flashing light. But the mean individual left in the
They wonder where he went, because he left the neighborhood like a rattlesnake should.
Hey, truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
I get certain issues that just really ring my chimes, you know what I'm saying? And this happens to be one of them. It's about 10 before the hour. In about 15 or so minutes, Marcy Winograd will join us from L.A., I guess. This is Barack Obama speaking to the Illinois AFL-CIO June 30th, 2003. Quote, I happen to be a proponent of a single-payer universal health care program. I see no reason why the United States of America, the wealthiest country in the history of the world, spending 14% of its gross national product on health care, cannot provide basic health insurance to everybody. And that's what Jim is talking about when he says everybody in, nobody out. A single payer health care plan, a universal health care plan, and that's what I'd like to see. But as all of you know, we may not get there immediately, because first we have to take back the White House, we have to take back the Senate, and we have to take back the House. End quote. Yoo-hoo, Mr. President. Guess what's happened in the past 6 years? We have the White House. Matter of fact, it's yours. We have the Senate. And we have the House. Okay, that's step one. Now, step two is what you say you're a proponent of. Single-payer health care. Where is Barack Obama's leadership on single-payer health care? Oh, I know. He's got two wars to handle and a tanking economy and environment going to hell and global warming. I know. Got to prioritize things, right? What do you think right now is one of the most, say, in the top two or three things that American voters, taxpayers, citizens, men, women, and children want? Do you think it's victory in Afghanistan? Do you think it's a stable government in Iraq? It's jobs, job security, and health care. Isn't it? I mean, what else is it? Where are you, Mr. Obama? Where are you? They're your words, Mr. President, not mine. They're yours. Reg writes, according to the Center, a report by the Center for Public Integrity, congressmen are outnumbered 2-1 by lobbyists for Big Pharma. Can you believe that? 435 members of Congress, 535 if you count the Senate, which is what we're supposed to do. There's the House and the Senate. Together, they are the Congress. 535 members of the Congress. And we have over 1,000 lobbyists from one industry, the pharmaceutical industry. How about that? Pharmaceutical industry spends roughly $100 million a year in campaign contributions and lobbying expenses to protect its profits. Huh? If you can't afford your prescription, AstraZeneca could help out. Give us a call. You seen those? Jamie in Maryland writes, Mike, mainstream media headlines proclaim that, quote, protesters disrupted the Senate hearings, end quote, rather than state that physicians and other providers supporting single-payer health care were arrested for wanting a seat at the table. You have to go to bloggers and YouTube to find the truth. What a shock. Those little gnats were swatted away in handcuffs at the behest of the head of a Democratic henchman, Max Baucus. Why are the most effed up people running our country? Jamie in Maryland. And this is from Mike, who writes, the simple fact that Americans will sit by and watch other Americans being escorted out of public meetings, public meeting places by the man, speaks volumes. Mike, the sheep in America are just scared and stupid, as it appears, to the balance of this nutball-filled world. We appear to have dumbed down to the place where even the gun-toting so-called patriots sit idly by as we slip into outright fascism. We deserve exactly what we're about to receive. Amen. Oh, man. I just, I find it extremely difficult sometimes to maintain even the tenuous grip on reality that I have. I really do. Max Baucus, Jesus God. One of the comments Baucus made, as soon as the police escorted one protester out of the room, another would stand up to criticize the committee for convening a panel of 15 experts and excluding witnesses who support creating a Medicare system for all Americans, single payer. Eight were let out of the hearing. Baucus said, one of his really wonderful one-liners, "We need more police." That's what Baucus said in a goddamn public hearing that involves Americans, not you, you filthy son of a bitch with all your money. You've got health insurance, Max, for the rest of your life. And so does your family for the rest of their lives. What about us? What about us? He laughs at us. Max Baucus, Democrat from North Dakota, laughs at us. Laughs at us. Ha, 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 ha. We need more police. And he said, as Nancy Pelosi said about impeachment, Max Baucus said about single payer, it's off the table. Sorry, dumbasses, it's off the table. When you voters figure out a way to provide hundreds of thousands of dollars, nay, millions of dollars into my campaign coffers, you little schmucks, then come back and see me. In the meantime, I'm dancing with the people who brung me, and that's the healthcare insurance industry. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and Big Pharma. You don't like it? Bring in more police! Welcome back. It is about 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy program. A little bit of background. As most of you know, I very seldom have a guest on this program. It's just not the nature of the program, but we're going to talk with Marcy Winograd here in a couple of minutes. She is the founder of the Los Angeles chapter of Progressive Democrats of America. And in 2006, Winograd got 38% of the primary vote in less than 3 months of campaigning. That was in her effort to unseat Jane Harman in that go-around. Among other things, and I'll share a little bit with you of this in a second, but Winograd's platform called for withdrawal of troops from Iraq and protection of constitutional rights. Boy, there's a couple novel ideas. She is also a co-founder of LA Jews for Peace. She has been a featured speaker at conferences promoting peaceful coexistence and equal rights for both Palestinians and Israelis living together in the Middle East. She's spoken out against violence in all forms, whether it be demolitions of Palestinian homes or rocket attacks on southern Israel. She is a supporter of humanitarian aid And she opposes military funding that will only exacerbate that particular conflict. And I'm sure when we talk to her, we'll find out any conflict. She's a board-certified teacher, teaches at Crenshaw High School in South L.A. Her key positions, all right, she supports single-payer health care, which essentially is Medicare for all. She wants to bring the troops home and end the war in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. She calls for an end to extraordinary renditions, imprisonment without due process, and all forms of torture. You can tell right away she's not a typical Democrat, right? She supports Obama's call for nuclear disarmament, emphasizing the need to reverse the Bush first strike doctrine and pledge not to build new nuclear weapons. She supports national legislation to green our ports, and she wants to nationalize the Federal Reserve, freeze foreclosures, and create a massive green jobs program. As I told you earlier tonight, this woman is a Democrat. You all remember Democrats, don't you? We used to have a lot of them around. She joins us now from L.A., I guess. Hi, Marcy.
Hi, Mike. Thank you so much for having me on your program. It's great to be with you.
Thank you. Kathy and I had a debate the other night as to whether or not you were on the program during the primary back in 06. I think I was. Were we still with Air America then, Kathy? I don't remember.
Yes, I was with you on the program.
I thought so. Well, it's good to have you back.
It's great to be back, Mike. You know, I wasn't sure I was going to run again. I thought maybe, you know, my run in 2006 had pushed Harmon to the center. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying the left. I'm saying the center.
I hear you.
And for a while, you know, her votes weren't as bad as they had been previously. I think there were a couple of times she might have voted against funding. Not all the time, funding of the war. But this recent development where this mm-hmm. investigation into AIPAC, you know, into the spying where she obstructed justice, or at least that is reported to have happened, and the NSA says they have tapes to prove it, where she offered to obstruct justice to try to get these charges dropped in exchange for support for her chairmanship of the House Intelligence Committee. That, you know, on top of her colluding with Gonzalez to become a poster child for warrantless wiretapping, you know, in exchange for having the FBI back off of its investigation of her, all of this has just propelled me back into the fray mm-hmm. because I feel really, Mike, that it's my responsibility. You know, I launched this campaign last time, and within just 3 months of campaigning, that's a very short time, we were able to mobilize people throughout this 36-mile-long district. We are still working together, a group of core activists, concerned citizens, and we really want to do it this time. We think that people have had enough of the corruption in Washington, of their representative being in the pocket of special interests, and they want somebody with integrity, with a commitment to the people, to representing the people of this country, as opposed to a foreign country.
You know, I want to ask you a couple of things, but I want to get right down to some nitty-gritty here with you, Marcy, and I've got to ask you some questions as they pop into my head of what you just said about putting people in Washington to really represent the people. How many times have we heard that from how many candidates and office seekers, including, and this is the part that just irritates the hell out of me, including Democrats. And then when they get there, all of a sudden the game changes. How are you going to be different? How are you going to be different? You know, beyond the rhetoric, how are you going to be different?
I think that's an excellent question. I think the important key to this, to differentiating myself, is to say that, look, you know, I am not operating as a silo. I very much connect with the people who were active in my campaign, the people I met throughout the 36th district. I'm talking about from San Pedro, the harbor area, up through the beach cities into Venice and West L.A. And I think it's very important to continue that kind of relationship, to hold listening tours, frequent listening tours. My understanding is that Jane Harmon rarely appears in public. I think she's fearful of her constituents. I don't want to take that position. I want to be very open and transparent and to listen to what people have to say. When you're in it together, it's a whole different ballgame. I have to share with you, a friend of mine who is also a radio host said that she had a conversation, I think this was on the air, with Barbara Lee, mm-hmm. you know, who is the lone voice against going to war on Afghanistan.
Right.
And Barbara Lee said, look, you know, I can't do this by myself. I feel like I'm in a silo in Washington. Nobody else is here with me,
mm-hmm.
or very few, to say, stop. We don't need to escalate our presence in Afghanistan. She can't be that voice or an effective voice unless the people are behind her. And so that's a very important relationship.
You know, the thing about this latest Jane Harman story that I think is unnerving, it doesn't make any difference who the lobbying organization works for or who the foreign power happens to be. In this case, it was AIPAC and Israel. But it doesn't make any difference. When you have a member of Congress, a senator who sought chairmanship of what, the Intelligence Committee, I guess, being wiretapped by the government with a warrant. You know, this was not a random sweep where Jane Harman was caught inadvertently. It's my understanding that there was enough activity to get the attention of the NSA. And I really have some problems with the Bush NSA, but let's just play it as it lies here. Jane Harman was involved to the extent that the necessary warrants to tap her phones were secured. And it was because she was getting very close to representatives who either were or were not, and I will never know, involved in espionage for a foreign country. I mean, my God! And she's a senator.
Some might call it treason. My understanding is they were tapping AIPAC's phone, and she was on the other end. So they heard what she said, and what she reportedly said was, this conversation does not exist,
right,
after agreeing to this quid pro quo, that she would do them a favor and try to obstruct justice. So, yes, it's very disturbing. And what's even more disturbing is to read that, you know, half of our Congress stood up at the AIPAC conference this last weekend.
Yeah.
This is the problem, I think, when you don't have corporate subsidized public financing of elections, because people, many of our members are going to be attracted to the big pockets, the deep pockets.
Sure.
That's the way it works, right? And so some may do it because they're true believers. Others may do it because they're corrupt. Others may just say, you know what? I want to get reelected.
Right.
And that's the unfortunate
Well,
part.
To take a look at this hearing the other day, was it yesterday, Max Baucus, who is really on my he's not a nice man list now. There's another word for it, but I can't say it on the air, because of that hearing he held about health care and his being in bed. And I hate that phrase, with the pharmaceutical industry and the so-called health insurance industry. And how, I think it was 8 or 10 people were arrested for standing, just standing in a public hearing, and were they out of order? Yes, they were out of order. Why were they out of order? Because they weren't given a seat at the table to be a witness on behalf of people wanting single payer. Hey, let me put you on hold a second, and we'll come right back, Marcy, okay? I gotta take a break here. We're talking with Marcy Winograd, who is going to defeat Jane Harman in the next election and, be a senator from California. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Open your eyes, time to wake up. Enough is enough, is enough, is enough.
Is the outrage. Oh, here it is. Back to Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. All right, let me pause for just a second here and wipe great big gobs of egg off my face. I'm sitting here talking about Jane Harman as though she's a senator. I know that she represents this 36th district in California. I'm sorry, Marcy. I just
that's okay. You know, I thought I got a promotion.
No. It's just been a weird day here at the Malloy compound. That's my excuse. So,
okay.
I got about 40 emails. Malloy, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. She's not a senator. So, you know, that sort of thing. I don't know what I was doing there. But anyway, all right, let's get back to this. The idea that, Representative Harman would be caught in a situation like this to me is unbelievable. Again, why isn't Jane Harman focusing on the needs of not just the people in the 36th, but also the country right now? I mean, God knows we have some problems, don't we?
Well, yes, absolutely. And you have to wonder about a woman who puts personal ambition, wanting to be chair of a committee, before everything else. I think it's very difficult when you're in some morass, as she has found herself in, to focus on the needs of the district. I mean, how many things can you do at the same time? You know, you've got to thwart an FBI investigation of Israeli spies. You've got to thwart your own FBI investigation. You've got to push forward your campaign to become chair. And all the while, what's happening? Things are falling apart. You know, people are losing their jobs. They're losing their homes. They need attention. We need to be focused on what's happening in our district and how Washington can support those who are struggling to maintain jobs and to fend off banks who are taking over their houses. So I say it's time for change. You know, we need a fresh face in Washington. And if you go to my splash page, which is just the initial page of a website because it's under construction,
yeah,
you'll see Winograd4Congress.com. You'll see a fresh face. And you'll also see where you can donate, so I don't have to, ask big corporations for money. Not that I would. I don't believe in doing that.
Well, that's good, because I don't think anyone who is still able to think about politics in this country from a proactive or progressive point of view has any doubt any longer that corporate America has utterly and absolutely bought and paid for the Congress of the United States, both houses. And what so many of these senators and representatives do is what Molly Ivins used to talk about. You have to dance with those that brung you. So they're doing what the senators and representatives are doing, what the money said to do. Now, God knows I am not talking about all members of the House and the Senate. I said earlier tonight we probably have 30 or 40 Democratic senators that need to be replaced by progressive Democrats, and probably 150 members of the House who need to be replaced by progressive Democrats. Can you?
And Mike,
yeah.
I think if we can do this in the 36th district, this will be such a warning to those who side with big corporations, who side with Republicans, who, like Jane Harman, call themselves the best Republicans in the Democratic Party, that we can really change the direction of this country. We really need to win this fight. And to do that, I need everybody's support who's listening. I need those who are listening to sign up five others to visit the website, winograd4congress.com, endorse. Get on board, because we need you. We need the people.
Do you have how do you have your time blocked out? The election is how far away? About a year.
Okay, the election is over a year away. It's in June.
Yeah.
Which is great, really, because as I said before, I only have 3 months, and we got almost 40% of the vote. So now we have time to really lay the groundwork to get organized, and that's what we want to do. You know, we want to very much focus on getting troops, I don't want to say troops, boots on the ground. I don't want to say boots. People on the ground, walking precincts, okay, and conducting listening tours, going throughout the district to hear what's on your mind, what is of utmost concern to you, what can we do to support you and your struggles or your interests. So that's the focus, organizing. I mean, how else do you defeat a Goliath of you know, somebody who's probably worth more than China? I mean, really. You know, she's well, married to a very, very wealthy man.
Yeah, so I understand. We're starting to get some static, Marcy.
Okay.
No, I'm not sure what's going on there, but we're getting an awful lot of static on your call.
Okay. I'm moving a little bit.
Okay. Well, I've got No, we've lost you completely. Marcy, if you can still hear me, I still have a couple of things I want to ask. If you would call back in on the number that we gave you, if you would just call back in, I don't know what happened there. You must have gotten into a, I don't know, you're probably being hit by the NSA or AIPAC or Congresswoman Harmon. But give us a call back. We have to go to a break right now. But just a couple more things I want to ask you, Marcy. So if you'll call back, we'd appreciate it. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy.
With the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
It is about 25 before the hour. We've got Marcy back. I think we got a better connection now. You just started to disappear as though somebody were...
I'm here.
Yeah, it sounded like somebody was trying to deliberately sabotage your phone call. I wonder who that could be. All right, once again, if you'd give your website, Marcy, and how people,
sure.
You know, how people can get in touch with you.
Okay, yes.
Go
the
ahead.
The website is Winograd for Congress. Winograd for Congress and
yeah,
WinogradForCongress.com. That's it.
Winograd for
number four.
Winograd four, numeral four, Congress.
.com.
And
if you go online there, you can donate. You can send me an email. Tell me what's on your mind. You can let me know if you want to volunteer on the campaign. Mike, I welcome all of your listeners to join the campaign. Really, this is about the grassroots. This is about sending the message from the grassroots to Washington.
All right. We have your word on that, right?
You do.
All right. We'll talk again.
Do.
Let's talk again, Marcy, as your campaign develops. We'll have you on again just as often.
I would love to do that.
As often as you like. Just shoot an email to Kathy or we'll get in touch with you, okay?
Sounds terrific. Thanks so much, Mike.
All right. Thank you.
To you and your listeners.
All right. Thanks, Marcy. Appreciate it. All right. Apologize for the poor quality of the call there. I assume it's, it was Marcy's telephone, but the kind of weather we've been having down here, if you've been watching your news at all today, we just got hammered again here in the South, the Southeast. It's just unbelievable. And because we have to deal with AT&T, every time three or four clouds get together and there's a little bit of dribble of rain, that's one American corporation that just, you know, it's like the healthcare industry. They don't care. They don't care. AT&T, they don't care. I thought that was all broken up about 20 years ago. Remember all that? Huh? Remember when it used to be one phone company and it cost you like a dollar a minute to make a call? Okay, we're long time ago. Okay, we're going to break up AT&T or the Bell telephone system, yada, yada, yada. And they broke it up into the, wasn't it cute, the baby bells. And they had AT&T providing long distance and the baby bells would provide the local. Remember, wasn't that cute? And now it's all back together again and AT&T just dominates everything, at least here in the Southeast. So, I apologize for some of the quality of the broadcast. We do the best we can. I wish the hell that we were based in a radio station. Not that I want to work for one, but as a matter of fact, wouldn't. But we were based in a radio station because, you know, the equipment that they have there with their tower and their transmitter and all. And that's not what we do here from the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains on this program. We use an ISDN line that feeds a signal to, where is Westwood One? In Connecticut? New York, someplace up east. And that signal is then put up on a satellite from which it's pulled off by the radio stations, XM, Sirius, yada, yada. We also do an internet feed. And my producer, 80% of the time, just sits here and is pulling her hair out by the roots when she's not trying to keep the ship sailing. You've had a rough day today, haven't you?
It's been a challenging day.
Yeah, it has. It has. It has been a challenging day. Okay.
These are the times when I really earn my quarter.
Your quarter.
25 cents per show.
25 cents per show. That's
this is one of those days when I could use a quarter.
Yeah. What she's talking about, of course, if you don't know, is subscribe to Malloy Podcasts, and it works out to about 25 cents a program on a yearly basis.
And if three people subscribe, not only could I pay Molly's allowance, but I could probably also hire some help.
We'd
have somebody I could tie to the whipping post instead.
We've talked about getting an intern in here to do some of the work, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
Only because you want them cute.
You and me, kid. I got this from Bob. From newsforreal.com, good website, written by Stephen Pizzo, who goes into what we've been talking about on this program the past couple of nights, that the Justice Department inquiry, the Obama Eric Holder Justice Department inquiry into criminal behavior. Behavior that is recognized as being criminal by every court on earth, as being in violation of law, even here in the United States. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows what these sons of bitches did. I'm talking about you and the guy who is now an appeals court judge. Their names are immaterial. Just on and on. Just a whole list of people who were tasked with corrupting our legal system. And they did a goddamn good job of it, didn't they? They just did an excellent job. And we've been talking about the Internal Justice Department inquiry, has concluded that these lawyers, committed serious lapses of judgment in writing the secret memorandums authorizing torture. But they shouldn't be prosecuted. Serious lapses of judgment is how this is being described. Serious lapses of judgment. Well, as Stephen Pizzo writes, if this Department of Justice judgment stands, civics and political science textbook publishers will only have until fall to correct their textbooks to reflect this new measure of bad behavior. Among the events currently treated by history books as crimes and crimes against humanity requiring a serious downgrade to simply serious lapses of judgment include such events as Japan ordering the rape of Nanking, Germany ordering the final solution, Iraq ordering the gassing of the Kurds, Rwanda ordering the Rwandan genocide of 1994, Vietnam ordering the My Lai massacre, and on and on and on. You see, those are lapses in judgment. As Stephen Pizzo writes, it's a lot easier to change the judgment of history than to apologize to the dead. But if the Department of Justice's newly minted criminal behavior yardstick for those in charge sticks, well, we've got some apologizing to do, because we executed or sent to prison a whole lot of folks after World War II for ordering actions that the Department of Justice would now apparently consider just serious lapses of judgment. For example, quote, and this is from, where's this from? It doesn't matter. After Japan surrendered, the United States organized and participated in the International Military Tribunal for the Far East, generally called the Tokyo War Crimes Trials. Leading members of Japan's military and government elite were charged, among their many other crimes, with torture, with torturing Allied military personnel and civilians. The principal proof upon which their torture convictions were based was conduct that we now call waterboarding. As a result of such accounts, a number of Japanese prison camp officers and guards were convicted of torture that clearly violated the laws of war. This, see, it's astonishing. We, the United States, with a couple of our allies, decided in these war crimes trials in Tokyo and Nuremberg, after World War II, we are the ones who led the prosecution, who formed the prosecution, who decided on the judgment, since no types of trials like these had ever been held before. Prison, life in prison, firing squad, hanging. We decided what the rules were going to be. We made it clear to the entire world that the rules would be enforced, and we enforced them. We hanged people who certainly deserved to be hanged. We executed by other means other people who certainly deserved to be executed. We sent to prison for long periods of time people who certainly deserved to go to prison. And what are we doing now with our torturers? We are turning their names over to their local bar associations. We are turning their names over to their local bar associations. That's like being sent to the principal's office and having your hall pass removed permanently. It's, this is not a good thing. This is not only is it not a good thing, but what are we to do now when, we've invaded two countries ostensibly. I know this is all BS. Ostensibly to track down people who bombed buildings in the United States and killed 3,000 people. How many people have we now killed in response to that? And how much torture have we committed? Isn't there a balance point somewhere? Does the idea of justice still exist? Any of this? I mean, Christ. We'll be right back.
I'm in June, and I'm gonna choose.
The voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
It is 10 before the hour. I got to share this with you. There was a ruling by a 3-judge panel of the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals today. And that's in Virginia, Northern Virginia, I believe. It unanimously upheld a lower court's decision that said U.S. government agents searching for evidence of, quote, terrorist funding, end quote, acted reasonably when these agents broke down a Muslim family's front door, entered with guns drawn, handcuffed a woman and her teenage daughter. Now, the ruling was handed down today. The raid on the home of Iqbal and Aisha Unis and their daughter Hana'a was one of several conducted in Northern Virginia in 2002, a few months after the 9/11 attacks. No charges were filed as a result of the search. Agents targeted the home of the man, Iqbal Unis, an employee of the Islamic Institute of Islamic Thought, because he was an officer or advisor in three different Middle Eastern organizations that had ties to the Middle East. According to the husband and wife, the man and woman, authorities knocked loudly on their door, demanded entry. The wife said she saw a gun through the window and screamed for her daughter, who called 911. That's when agents, weapons drawn, knocked down the door with a battering ram and handcuffed the husband, the wife, and the child. The mother and daughter remained handcuffed for 4 hours while agents searched the home, eventually leaving with two computers and six boxes of documents. Now, the judge on this panel wrote, quote, to be sure, the federal agent defendant's forced entry into the Unis residence must have been a harrowing experience for the plaintiffs. The federal agent defendants were entitled, however, to exercise lawful force in entering the residence, and they thus acted reasonably in drawing and pointing their weapons, end quote. The judge wrote that the agents were justified in breaking down the door because they could see through the window the woman retreating toward the back of the house. The handcuffing also was reasonable, the judge wrote, because, quote, the agents did not know whether they would be confronted by resistance, end quote, from a woman and a teenage girl. Oh, well. An attorney for the Unis family said she still believes the agents went too far, especially since they were not searching for weapons, and the two women clearly posed no threat. The attorney said they were only looking for pieces of paper, and these are two tiny people. It's unbelievable. She said she was disappointed and did not rule out a U.S. Supreme Court appeal. A spokesman for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Alexandria, Virginia, said the office was pleased with the ruling. Pleased. The Unis family did prevail on one point. The court reversed a district judge decision ordering the family, to pay more than $40,000 in attorney's fees and costs for one of the defendants, Rita Katz, an author and terrorism researcher who provided the government information about Islamic organizations operating in the United States. A judge had ordered this family to pay $40,000 for one of the defendants. And that was reversed. What would you do if you heard a pounding on your front door and you looked out and there were people standing there with guns drawn, screaming that they demanded entry? I don't know if they probably identified themselves as federal agents, but so what? I could identify myself as, anything I wanted to, and that doesn't make it real, especially if you are terrified. You are a Muslim family going about your own business. It's a few months after 9/11. You have been called everything but human by good white folk, Christians and Jews in this country. And, okay, maybe not so much Jews, but certainly Christians and right-wingers. You're terrified to even leave your house, and all of a sudden you look out the front door because someone's beating on the door and you see people with guns. What are you going to do? Retreat to the back of your house. That probably would be what people who are terrified would do. The door comes slamming down, and in come all these people, handcuffing you, screaming at you, and taking your stuff. And a court rules that that's okay. That's okay. Well, just remember what Pastor Niemöller said in Germany back in the 30s before he left you know, they came for the socialists, and I didn't do anything because I'm not a socialist. They came for the union organizers, and I didn't do anything because I'm not a union organizer. And on and on. They came for the Jews, and I didn't do anything because I'm not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to do anything for me either. Man. But surely President Obama is going to make sure that laws already on the books about entry into people's homes on suspicion, that those laws that are already on the books will be enforced to the point that this sort of thing won't happen again, right? I mean, he will do that, won't he? We'll be back after the break. Phone lines are open if you'd like to call in, 877-996-2556. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Show, coming to you from the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, where we got hammered once again today. Ah, don't you love the weather, huh? To the phone calls. Dave is calling from Chicago, listening on XM. Hey, Dave.
What's happening, Mike? Just a little bit ago, you were kind of getting on the show a little bit. You're having a couple of difficulties there, and I thought, man, I just got to talk to him about the first half hour of the show. Man, it was brilliant. I like my politics mixed with a little bit of comedy, and the Republican representatives as the cotton pickers and Rush Limbaugh as the landowner slave master was.
That's just about where it is. I've never seen anything like this. I mean, Limbaugh is nothing. He's a lump of dirt. Yeah. I mean, all the Republicans have to do is take a look. This is a guy who claims 20 million listeners a week. He probably has about 3 or 4 million. And in his, with his listeners, with all his devotees, the Republicans have managed to lose the House, lose the Senate, lose governorships, lose the presidency. They've lost everything. And I think this is the part of the Republican Party that I love. I just love this. It's almost, I don't know, it's almost as good as sex. Not quite. But to watch them fawn over this drug-addicted son of a bitch as though he really mattered. I hope they keep doing this, because Rush Limbaugh is like the Pied Piper, and he's going to lead these rats right into hell.
Yeah, yeah. A while back, you had a bit that you kept playing quite a bit when you were having technical difficulties. It's Alexander the Great bit. You should do the same thing with the first half hour of this show if you have to. You know, cut it out with a razor blade and put it in heavy rotation like you did with that thing. It was good stuff. I've got a little bit of a conflict where I pay for the XM, and, like, I know you're doing this thing with the $60 a year, but the first half hour of this show, that earned my – next time I'm on the road right now, but I'm going to plug into a Wi-Fi at Starbucks, like, tomorrow morning, and I'm going to send out that $60 because that – that earned it. That was great.
Bless your heart, Dave. It warms the cockles of my heart to hear that. Thanks a lot,
later,
pal.
Bye.
All right. I appreciate you checking in. Yes.
I was just going to say to all our listeners out there, they are commercial-free podcasts. So, Dave, you could listen without commercials and have an even more enjoyable ride. And we're also going to have merchandise that's 100% Union Made in America. So if you didn't need a podcast...
You know, I keep hearing that.
And click on our Google ads.
When's the merchandise going to show up?
The merchandise fairies have yet to tell me, but I know it's soon, and it's probably because they're trying to find a union in America.
Yeah, well, they're
But
plenty.
It will be Union Made in America.
Michelle writes in, man, Mike, you have gotten me worked up tonight. Those arrogant dweebs in Congress like Baucus laughing at the needs of the citizenry. We need single-payer national health care. No citizen left behind, homeless and bankrupt due to an illness. I am so pissed right now. What is it going to take to turn this country around from catering to the 1% at the expense of the 99%? After this last election cycle, I was really hopeful that maybe in my lifetime our nation would start taking right action, and I don't mean right as conservative, but right as good, compassionate, just, and fair. It seems that day by day that hope is getting further away. Thank you for getting out there overnight and hammering away at the bastards. My husband and I sure appreciate hearing your program out here in the wilds of eastern Washington. Thank goodness for Sirius. Michelle. Well, thanks, Michelle. Thanks for writing. Yeah, when I saw that video today, that 6 or 8 minute video that's up, how do people see it? Go to our website and go to the Twitter button or what? I don't know.
Just follow us at Twitter. Mike Malloy Show at Twitter.
Mike Malloy Show at Twitter.
Mike Malloy Show at Twitter, and there's a link on our homepage, MikeMalloy.com, to our Twitter page.
The day I Twitter will be the day that I hope somebody comes with a white jacket with the arms buckling in back and just take me away. Twitter Schmitter.
You've been Twittering for months and you don't even know it.
No, you've been doing it, not me. Listen. I've just gotten around to the point of being able to use a touch-tone phone, you know. So, you know, my son sent me my son Chris sent me iPod last Christmas and very patiently explained to me how to plug it into the computer and put in some discs and upload the music and yada, yada, yada. And as long as I had him on the phone and he's explaining this to me, okay, I can do it. When I finished loading music in, I just sat there for about half an hour marveling at, oh my God, you just put music in an iPod. Whew. And it's really bizarre because doing what we're doing right now, Kathy and I to make this program happen, it is all computers. Very little of it is actual radio, like in a radio station. Our connection to, the outside world is this ISDN line that goes to a satellite. Everything else is, you know, computers. Thank God Kathy is, 1,000 miles ahead of the curve on this stuff. You know, I watch her, down here today. She said earlier this evening this was a rough day. She meant from the standpoint of the technical work that she's been trying to put together. We now have, what do I see here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 monitors. Seven screens here. What do you got over there? You got 4. I've got 3. That's 7 flat screen monitors that do that show us all the stuff that's going on here. I'm very impressed with the work that she's done. I tell her this in private anyway, but it's just amazing. But no, I'm kind of lost when it comes, and I'm not a Luddite. I really like technology. I love it. You know, the more the better. It's just that it's got to be kept simple for someone like me. You know, where's the on button? Oh, good. Now, how do I make that go? Oh, there's another button. Okay, good. You know, that sort of thing. Will is calling from, driving in Arizona, listening on Sirius. Hey, Will.
Hey, I can hardly hear you, Mike.
You can barely hear me? You can barely hear me?
I can hear you now.
Now you can hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I listened to you a lot on the way home. You remind me of my father.
Oh, good. I guess. Is that a good thing?
That's a good thing.
Okay.
Help shape. I had a question for you.
Sure, go ahead.
It seems like people keep missing out on. Everybody's talking about whether the Obama administration is going to, you know, go after people that were responsible for the memos, or, you know, 62% of Americans don't want that done. But prosecuting someone isn't guilt. The courts decide guilt.
Right.
So when did Obama administration, when did, you know, us as the people decide that whether someone was guilty or not? That's why we created the courts to determine that. Everybody keeps missing.
Yeah, well, you're aware of that, too. The idea, I think, here, and I think people in the Obama administration understand this, if any of this ever made it into a courtroom, these people would be found guilty. How could they not be? Oh, my God. I mean, how sharp I think I could get a prosecution on these thugs. All you'd have to do would be to hold up a book on the law in the United States, the law from international treaties and agreements, what we did at the Tokyo war crimes trials and the Nuremberg war crimes trials, and then rest your case. You wouldn't even have to call any witnesses. And then just rest the case. The only thing I can think of, the Obama administration, in the first place, is not liberal. It's only a little bit progressive, and it is terrified to start something that may get out of control. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it's almost like once you're in the position of power, you don't want to give up any of your own power.
Yeah, that's true. Listen, I gotta leave you there, Will, and you're just fading in and out. It's making me crazy. Thanks anyway for checking in, though.
Redefining Anger Management. It's Mike Malloy.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those gnats in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from
21 past the hour. Phil is calling from Austin, Texas, listening online. Hey, Phil.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Yeah, your volume just went down. But, yeah, I'm listening on the internet. And I've listened to you for just a little while before you and Randy, what's her name, both left that company. That all of a sudden started sending me a lot of unwelcome emails that I get all the time that I never used to get.
Oh, yeah?
The reason I'm calling is I think one of the multitude of issues that are being ignored, you know, as one fire is put out for the next, is election reform. And both voting, you know, the issue of electronic voting machines and also
right.
instant runoff voting.
Right.
I think, you know, people may have a false sense of security that since Obama, you know, won the election that, you know, we have control over, you know, honest
mm-hmm.
voting,
mm-hmm.
Which there's no assurance whatsoever. And I, you know, I think that there ought to be an effort to remove, you know, the remaining electronic voting machines. At least, I don't have anything against the electronic voting machines, but they should put out a paper ballot.
Yeah,
I mean, everything else about it is good. You know, you can do last minute changes. It's good for you know, access for disabled people. You know, language and everything else is good. It's just that it should print a paper ballot.
Well,
and
yeah.
Of course, you know, the only reason for not doing that is the same reason that you wouldn't put landing gear on an airplane. There is no reason.
Right. Well, I think that effort is underway, Phil, to get rid of these machines, and I think it's because The various secretaries of state around the country understand that at some point, if they don't get rid of him, they're going to get a lawsuit that they're going to have to defend against, and it's going to cost a lot of money, and we are in a very perilous times where it concerns states having any money to do anything. So I do think that move is underway to get rid of those damn machines. Phil, I got to leave there. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking. I'm sorry about the drop in the volume. It is a constant struggle to keep this this airship from exploding. I feel like the Hindenburg, for God's sake. Oops, wait a minute. Let me put you back on hold there, pal. Hit the wrong button. Brett is calling from Georgia.
Hi.
Hey, is this?
Yeah, I'm in Georgia. Hi, Mike.
Oh, is this Brett Butler, the comedian?
I need that.
Oh, my God.
That boy's name, that girl moniker. Yeah, hey, you.
Hey, say something funny so I'll laugh. I'm having you know.
Buddy, I hear you. I just found this station. You guys, I have not listened to any viewpoints since I just didn't want harangues, and I heard you on this rental car, and I went, what is he doing living up here in witness protection? I don't know. I said, I moved here 18 months ago near, just say, the foothills of the Georgia Mountains, okay?
Right.
Forgetting that I don't like white Southern people, and believe me, the irony of that is not lost on me. But
right,
more than that. It's them not strapping their babies in and letting puppies run in the road. And
that's true.
It's just I don't know what I mean.
Well, you know, you've moved to the Atlanta area.
No. I live. Put it this way, where I am. I'm jealous of Chattanooga.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying. All right, I get it. But you know,
it's very pretty.
And
you know what? A guy came up to me. This is the funniest example I can relate to you. The only funny one is, he said, "I just want to tell you, somebody put an Obama sticker on your car when you wasn't looking." I looked at him and I thought, geez, you know, he thinks he's helping, and I said, well, honey, I did. And he got this look on his face as if I'd, you know, broken into Sanskrit, and he said, I thought you were Southern.
Yeah, right.
I said, I am. I'm Southern. I'm Irish. I've lived away. I've read books. I don't want to feel this way about anybody.
No, I understand. I understand perfectly. As far as, you know, dead puppies, you can tell it's spring, in the South, because all of a sudden you see all this dead stuff in the roads. You know, there's baby possums and baby birds and baby raccoons and baby puppies.
I know.
It happens down here because nobody gives a damn, when they're driving. What made you leave LA?
A very specific thing, which was the catalyst. I guess I wanted I got a part on a show. It doesn't even matter what. It was a part that other people wanted, and it was, you know, it's a hit show. And it was so witless and vulgar. Now, I'll do vulgar, you know, but I really like the wit with it. And I thought, well, between reality and a resurgence of, 28-year-old white guys wearing Dockers telling me what's funny, I went, you know, if you don't write your other book, if you don't go find out the depths of your intellect, and I had a couple of perfectly good Tennessee Walkers that were in Los Angeles fancy stalls. And
hey, Brett,
go ahead.
Yo, Brett, hold on just a second.
Sure,
let me put you on hold. I got to do a break here, and then we'll come back, and because I want to hear this whole story about why you left L.A. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Border and coast to coast, the Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
25 roughly before the hour. We're talking with Grace Under Fire star Brett Butler, who has left L.A. for the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, probably not too far from where we hang out. Now
I get a feeling it's close.
Yeah, I think so. Did y'all get a lot of storms tonight?
Let's put it this way. My dimples are even bigger.
I hear you.
From the hail.
Hail, yeah. Man, it does hail down here all of a sudden. This is, it's like being in Detroit as far as the hail is concerned. And
well, it really was. It's been something. And I haven't heard thunder in 15 years. In L.A., it shakes, it's on fire, but you don't hear thunder.
Right. Well, you're going to hear it. You're also, the other thing you're going to find out or remember, Brett, is the lightning strikes.
Yes. And then people say, well, you know, you live in Tornado Alley. And I'm like, okay, there's, and the person from whom I bought this farm built the tornado shelter. Get this. It's a real high water table and plenty of well water, in his guest house.
Yeah.
And I said, you went to school for 8 years and look, and the Wizard of Oz, the house lifted up.
That's
but in
right.
reality, it would be on top of your lovely family.
And right.
You put it in a feet, like if I know how to tell a guy how to do his farm, then something's wrong.
That's true. Well, listen, I hope you'll tune in once in a while. You can't hear us on over-the-air radio here in the South. I used to work for a big station out of Atlanta, but I just got too damn liberal for them and too crazy. So I'm glad you have Sirius or XM.
I will, and I'm going to write you. And somebody actually wonderful offered to buy my farm. He's that would be, you know, I don't know how long I'm supposed to do this gulag business, but hey, you know,
until you repent.
I just want everybody at the same table again. This divided America thing is just awful.
It is.
And I love what you said. I just have to tell you, thank you so much for the thing about the people representing, you know, what happened in the health committee hearing.
Oh, God.
It's heartbreaking.
Did you see some of that video? I mean, it was just awful how Democrats were mocking these people and laughing at them. I just thought to myself, I can't believe that this is going on. These were doctors, nurses, healthcare workers.
Oh, no, the smirk that is happening is amazing. So
yeah.
Just, you know, you guys keep up the good fight. And I don't know how to do an iPod either. We're Luddites. And,
We are that.
And peace to you. I will send you a letter and thank you. Thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Brett. Thanks, Brett. Take care.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. So if we live in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains and she's moved here, that can only be, hell, we're probably not too far away. I'll bet if you go get the shotgun, get your shotgun, not mine. Leave mine to hell alone. If you go get yours and stand out on the deck when the show's over and aim kind of to the northwest and pull the trigger, I bet Brett would hear it.
Yeah, that'd let her know it's supper time. If you're here in the South, come on over.
Just don't mess with my shotgun. I've got a Winchester over and under, and Kathy is not allowed to touch it.
Don't you just sound like you were born here?
No, I don't. I sound like somebody who realizes that things could get weird. Don't forget where we live, right? Right. Carl is calling from Columbus, Ohio, listening online. Hey, Carl.
Hello, I can hear you well enough, Mike. I am a podcast subscriber. I'm pleased to be in that capacity. I really am.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And, of course, it's hard to follow up Brett Butler, but you two seem to have hit it off quite well. And I'm quite pleased that you will not have to fire 12% of your staff in order to,
Right.
This thing with the torture here. I mean, I'm not stunned. I'm not surprised at all. I mean, everything that we have known about Obama for a long time, you know, in the Bush-like capacity, of course, this is absolutely true. If we are going to now so be rogue from the world community that torture is not even going to rate a wrist slap.
I'm shocked, man. I really am. And, you know, I'm old enough and have seen enough and been enough places. It takes a hell of a lot to shock me. It really does. You know, abused kids shocks me. You know, stuff like that.
I remember that time that you lost it on the air. I mean, it was only a few months ago.
Yeah, so, seeing villages blown up, that shocks me.
Yeah.
But there's very little in American politics that still shocks me. But this deal, after all this investigation, after the whole damn world knows what's going on, knows what has happened, after all this, they're gonna get a wrist slap. They're gonna be sent to the principal's office.
If that much.
To have their law licenses questioned.
Look at it this way. I mean, this also sets us on this excruciatingly dangerous precedent in terms of previous opinion. Okay, the magic word precedent. Let's bring that out. Everyone
sure.
who we had previously imprisoned or hanged, do we now revisit these cases, dig these poor people up, and say, oh, sorry, you just had a lapse in judgment? How far does this go now?
It's beyond belief to me. The only little glimmer of light, and I keep talking about, what's his name? Leonard Cohen wrote the song about there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. And that made an impression on me all years ago when I heard that, and I still think about that. The little crack for the light to get in here in this torture investigation is... I feel like an ancient rabbi parsing down the words of in Leviticus, trying to figure things out, because I have to parse the words from the Justice Department when they say, okay, we are going to recommend that no extreme measures are taken here as far as prosecution. However, we will leave open the possibility. You understand what I'm saying?
Look,
they haven't slammed the door yet.
No, but I don't think that we can hold out for that much. Obama went to Langley. We all saw this. It's
right.
Like, don't be discouraged.
Yeah.
And I think we knew that the writing was on the wall at that point, in addition to everything else that had been going on prior to that, including, you know, such and such is off the tape. It's just that when it comes out with finality and it's presented in black and white, just as a nation, where in the world does that leave us?
Mm-hmm.
Outside of Rogue, of course, where does that leave us?
I'm just as perplexed and pissed off, frankly. I can't even think about this. I really can't. It's the same story that you go through, I go through, everybody goes through. You know, you get up in the morning, and after about an hour, when you know you got your heart started again, and you can breathe normally, and you turn on the damn CNN, and here it comes, wave after wave after wave of you know, if it's not hog flu, then it's Afghanistan and Pakistan are ready to swap bombs or something. And if it's not that, the mortgage meltdown. If it's not that, all of a sudden we find out that the torture brothers are not going to, nothing's going to happen to them. They're going to be sent to the principal's office. Hey, we think you ought to lose your law license. Lose their law license? Jesus, God.
No, they're going to revoke their bus pass.
It's like,
United States, no more. Constitution, gone. Everything, all the founding documents, gone. Out the window. Forget everything, you know, from the foundation of the forfeit, gone. Forget it.
Well,
you know, Canada South.
Yeah.
An unnamed, vast place.
That has
no name.
I just hope that's not completely the situation. Oh, well. Hey, listen, Carl, I got to leave there. Thanks, pal.
Yes, sir. Speak to you again.
All right. Appreciate your call. Appreciate you checking in. I can't go there yet. You know what I'm saying? I just can't go where, Mike? Go to the belief that this is going to remain unpunished, this torture thing. You know, starting with these three attorneys in the Office of Legal Counsel, who did this, Jay Bybee and John Yoo, and what's the other guy's name? Doesn't matter. Like I said earlier tonight, the names don't matter. It was what they did on behalf of the United States of America and every one of us that lives here. And the fact that it's an unintended consequence, but they should have considered it. I don't even know if it's unintended. Now, every single person, man or woman, who wears uniform of the United States military and finds himself or herself in a combat zone and gets captured by the kinds of people that we are apparently going to fight for the rest of eternity, which also makes no damn sense to me at all, I don't want Afghanistan. Do you? I have no use for it. And Iraq can kiss my grits. I couldn't care less about Iraq or Afghanistan or Goofy Stan or Crazy Stan or Let's All Go Die Stan. You know, it makes no sense to me at all. But any of our people in uniform, and think about some, you know, a 20-year-old guy or girl who thinks they're really defending the flag, mom and apple pie, who gets caught over there, gets captured, and think that they still have protections provided by the Geneva Conventions. Well, I'm okay. I'm a prisoner of war. They're not going to hurt me. And that's, you know, they think that thought right before they're held down and water's poured down their throats. You know what I'm saying?
That's how the lead gets in. That's how the light gets in. That's how the light gets in.
Before the hour, this has been a chunky, clunky night. I swear, there's something about the program tonight that just has felt kind of, you know, Marcy Winograd. That was good. That part was good. Although we had some phone problems with Marcy, and then our satellite uplink went bluey for about 2 or 3 minutes. I don't know. I hate nights like this. Well, the good spot was Brett Butler called, yeah, so that was fun. Ben Birch is our technical advisor, Sharon Gordy, our military affairs correspondent, our economic affairs correspondent is Bruce Enberg. This program's ethical advisors are Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf, and the executive producer of everything is Kathy Bache, who also engineers, even on bad nights like this. Kat Mary in Memphis, obviously heard me talking about things get dead on the highways here in the South in the springtime. That's one way you can tell, you know, the azaleas come out and the dogwoods and everything's real pretty and beautiful for a couple of weeks. And then you start to see all the death, you know, it's just unbelievable. Birds, little baby birds laying all over the place. The ones that got pushed out of the nest by their siblings. Get out of here. I want damn worms. All kinds of baby things just get run over here, especially in, here in North Georgia, because people drive like maniacs. We've seen a couple of, fawn, all kinds of dead things, puppies, squirrels. The damn squirrels is all right with me. You know, they're just tree rats to me, but they, you know, try to run across a street on a power line, and they get about halfway across and slip. You know, it's about a 20-foot drop to pavement. I know. Everybody, you know, I haven't been shooting squirrels lately, and that's probably a good thing, because every time I bring that up, you know, I get phone calls or emails from people who just say, you know, you cruel son of a bitch, how could you shoot? Listen, let me tell you something. Squirrels are tree rats, and I don't like them. I just don't like them. But there's so many dead things on the road here. Possums. In about another month, you'll start to see armadillos.
Yeah, and it's never just right wingers. But no, what I was going to say is it's hard to see the dead things on the road in the spring for all the green dust.
All the dust, that's right, all the pollen.
You have to scrape it off your windshield first.
Yeah, but that's how you know it's the South. Anyway, Captain Mary was listening and sent me this thing. This is from this is a Tom Waits song, "Murder in the Red Barn." But these couple lines: "Roadkill has its seasons, just like everything. You get your possum in the autumn and farm cats in the spring. Thank you, Captain Mary. Bob is calling from San Jose, California. Listening.
Yeah, good evening, Mike.
Hey, Bob.
Some folks will recognize me. I'm Linear Bob.
Oh, Linear Bob. Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good, yes. We met some time ago when you were out here.
Yeah? And
what I'm calling about is I think there's a ray of hope.
Yeah?
A little crack of hope. That Spanish judge who had something to do with Pinochet being held at least publicly accountable.
Right.
Isn't he the guy that was talking about universal jurisdiction for war crimes?
He is. There's a new judge. You're thinking of Gaspar Baltazar or
something like that.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is there's international jurisdiction. It's not just Spain. This universal jurisdiction on war crimes is all around the world. And there may well be, you know, this is what my little prayer for the night is, although I'm with you about religion,
yeah,
that somebody somewhere else says that was a war crime.
Well, I've heard this this argument laid out there. Let me put you on hold, Bob, because
sure.
your call is starting to get weird on us again. I don't know what the hell is going on here tonight. I've heard that argument laid out before that maybe somebody in a responsible country with a responsible Ministry of Justice or whatever will take it upon themselves to bring these thugs to justice. And the counter argument as it was presented, and I think it was in Harper's Magazine a couple of months ago, the counter argument is no, nobody is really going to take on former officials of the U.S. government, no matter how corrupt they were, no matter what they did, for a simple salient fact that it is the United States. And other nations are afraid of the reaction. I'm not talking about military action, but the reaction by the United States in terms of, the evil under the table, behind the curtain crap that we can certainly do, whether it is screwing with their banking system or devaluing, a run on their money, or, we do this kind of stuff. We've been doing this, like I've said before, since the Spanish-American War. It's very simple to destabilize or overthrow a government. Hell, all you have to do is attack their money. Pew, down they go. And Lord knows we have enough people certainly capable of doing that, right? This gang on Wall Street and banking and financial services industry that's attacked our money. But anyway, the counter argument to some foreign government doing this would be simply they're afraid of the consequences because it is the United States. And even though we are getting into a weakened position, because of the dispersal of our military all over hell's half acre and the collapse of our economic system, brought about pretty much by the same people, we still, even though that is going on, we still are capable of really screwing with other governments and other countries in a very serious, upsetting ways. So I don't think it's going to happen. That scenario is going to play out. That's B. A is simply it's our country, our constitution. Either we respect our own laws and international law or we don't. Either we will hold our own criminals who wind up in government accountable or we won't. There's no halfway ground here. There's no halfway ground. And how that determination is made is going to decide for us what our country's going to look like for a very, very long time. I'll see you tomorrow night, True Seekers. Thanks for hanging out. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.